chapter 12. And we're going to read verses 35 through 42. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required. And they spoiled the Egyptians. Isn't that amazing? And the children of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Succoth, about 600,000 on foot that were men, besides women and children. So you can imagine this was a pretty large group of anywhere from 2 to 3 million people. And a mixed multitude went up also with them, and flocks and herds and even very much cattle. And they baked unleavened cakes of the dough which they brought forth out of Egypt, for it was not leavened because they were thrust out of Egypt and could not tarry, neither had they prepared for themselves any victual. Now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the selfsame day it came to pass, that all the hosts of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. It is a night to be much observed unto the Lord for bringing them out from the land of Egypt. This is that night of the Lord to be observed of all the children of Israel in their generations. I want you to go to chapter 13, and let's read verses 17 to 22. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them through the way of the land of the Philistines. Although that was near, or he didn't lead them through the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. But God led the people through the way of the wilderness. I want you to underline that phrase, through the way of the wilderness. Or mark that phrase, or pay attention to that phrase, of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up, harnessed out of the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones away here with you. And they took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etham in the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. Now, how many know that in today, in the day that we're living in right now, we are living in troubling times? Amen? And there is trouble facing us individually. There is trouble facing us as a country. But I want to tell you today, I've got some good news for you. You can get the victory in the midst of trouble. Amen? So I don't want you to be worried about what's happening in the world today. I don't want you to be concerned about what's happening in our country, because we serve a God who's much greater, who's much bigger, who's much more awesome than anything that we could face or experience. Amen? So we're going to talk about today how to have victory in troubling times. All right? Because we've all faced trouble, haven't we? There's probably not one person in here at some point in your life that you did not face trouble. Well, if you've ever felt overwhelmed or powerless by your present circumstances, then today you can run to God who is the strong tower, and you can find safety, even in the midst of trouble. Amen? Psalm 91 talks about some can, 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, trouble. Now, the saints who went on before us, like Israel, they were accustomed to facing trouble. They faced tests, they faced trials. You know, sometimes the trouble came in famine. Sometimes it was by invasions of enemies. Other times it was through harsh conditions, through rough and barren wildernesses, harsh environments. They overcame slavery, pestilence, and other things. Amen? But those who believe in God, you have a right and you have a privilege and you have an opportunity that when you're facing trouble, you can call upon God, you can call upon His name, and He will answer you, and He will show up in the midst of your trouble, and He will deliver you from it. Hallelujah. He will protect you from all the harmful effects that are occurring elsewhere when the trouble's happening. Yeah. Amen? Amen? You'll be insulated from the trouble. Amen. So for these next couple Sundays, I'm going to take you through a tour of the wilderness. And we're going to visit some things in the wilderness that were troubling to the Israelites. And we're going to see how God delivered them, because if God delivered them then, He can deliver us now. Amen? Amen. Say, I'm not afraid of trouble.
I'm not afraid of trouble.
Because the Bible says that God is a very present help. Where? In trouble. Amen?
Yes.
When your back is against the wall, God can shine His greatest and brightest. When the deck is stacked against you, God loves it, because then He can move and He gets the glory and He gets the honor. Amen?
Amen.
And we just have to praise God. So are you ready to go through this journey of the wilderness? Amen? Now, the wilderness was a harsh place. All right, Deuteronomy 1:19 says it was a great and terrible wilderness. And there were several people. You know, Abraham, he traveled throughout the wilderness. And it was Abraham, as he traveled throughout the wilderness, you know, he had a tent. Abraham lived in a mobile home. A motor home, maybe, you might say. And God said that wherever the place that he put his foot, it was his. So Abraham, he did the hard work for us. Amen? He went before us. He's the father of faith. And, you know, even Hagar. Hagar was Abraham's concubine that Sarah gave him because she couldn't have any children. And when Ishmael was born, she was mocking Sarah. She was harassing Sarah, and Sarah got angry. And Sarah sent her away. She said, Abraham, you deal with her. So Abraham sent her away. Where did they go? They went to the wilderness. Did you know that the Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness for 40 days? Why would God lead you into a wilderness? Because in the wilderness, He wants to see what you're made of. He wants to see what's in your heart. He wants to see how you will respond. Because let me tell you something. How you respond in the midst of trouble will determine the results you receive. Amen? Have I piqued your interest enough yet? Hallelujah. Let me just read you some scriptures to encourage you about how God helps you in trouble. Amen?
Amen.
Psalm chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. And the psalmist writes, Lord, how they have increased who trouble me. You ever find that out when you're in the midst of trouble and just more trouble comes? And you're starting to feel overwhelmed. Things are being exaggerated and you're getting anxious. He said, many are they who rise up against me. Many are they who say of me, there's no help for him in God. But then he goes on to say, he didn't stop there. He said, but you, O Lord, are a shield for me. My glory and the one who lifts my head. I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me from his holy hill. How many knows that God hears you when you cry? So your part is to do the crying, the praying, the calling out. God's part is to do the listening and the responding. Amen? Amen. Let's go to another one. Psalm chapter 9, verses 9 and 10. I wanted to encourage you to build your faith to know that God helps you in trouble. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed. A refuge is a safe place, a secure place, and a place where you can rest. Who's that for? For the oppressed. Would you say that someone who's oppressed is in trouble? Amen? A refuge in times of trouble. How many know you have a refuge when trouble occurs? Now, none of us plan for trouble. Have you ever marked trouble on your calendar? Saying, next Friday at 2 o'clock, I'm expecting trouble to come to my door. Unfortunately, trouble is an uninvited guest. Trouble doesn't call you before to let you know it's coming. Trouble doesn't send you a text or an email. Say, I'm going to visit you. Trouble just shows up as an unwanted, unwelcome guest, and they're there with their bags packed, and you got to deal with it. Amen? But we have a refuge in times of trouble. Verse 10, and those who know your name will put their trust in you. Do you know his name today? Now you've got to make a decision in trouble who you're going to trust. Are you going to trust yourself? Are you going to trust mommy or daddy? Or are you going to trust the opinions of others? Or are you going to trust in God? You determine where you're going to put your trust. Amen? But those who know your name, they will put their trust in you. For you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. Aren't you glad that God doesn't forsake those who seek him? When you seek God, he said, you're going to find him. Those who seek, what? They shall find. Let's go to another scripture, Psalm 50. Verse 15. Call upon me when? In the day of trouble, not after the trouble has come. The day that trouble shows up to you, the day that you find yourself in trouble, you better make a phone call. And you're going to call on the one, the only one who can save you. And you will call upon me in the day of trouble, and notice what he will do. I will deliver you, and you will honor me. What will God do when you call upon him? In trouble, he will deliver you. In other words, he will take you out of the trouble. Or he will protect you from the trouble's harmful effects. He will insulate you. Wasn't Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in trouble when they were put into the fiery furnace? Where did God show up when they were in the furnace? What did they do when they were facing trouble? Number one, they wouldn't compromise, but number two, they danced and praised the Lord. They had more fun in the presence of the Lord, and the flames couldn't even touch them. Smoke couldn't even get on them. And what happened when the flames died out? They walked out because God delivered them in the midst of trouble. Psalm 20, verses 1 through 3. The assurance of God's saving work. Oh, that's just my highlight there. May the Lord answer you when? In the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob defend you. May he send you help from the sanctuary. How many know that we have a host of heavenly help? Because angels are ministering spirits. And they are sent forth to minister, to serve, to help those who will be heirs of salvation. Are you an heir of salvation? Then you have angels assigned to you to help you, to serve you. God will send his help from the sanctuary. They don't come with a siren. They just show up in brightness. and strengthen you out of Zion. Because trouble can weaken you. Trouble can deplete your resources. You need strength in the midst of trouble. Strength to stand, strength to call on God. May he remember all your offerings. Oh, I hope when trouble comes, you've been faithful to give offerings. Amen. You mean God remembers my offerings? Yeah, he never forgets. They bless him. Amen. And accept your burnt sacrifice. Let's go to Psalm 27. This will be the last one of these that I'll read some more of these next week. So you don't want to miss this. Psalm 27, verses 4 through 8. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. Isn't that interesting? When trouble comes, trouble will be knocking at your door and going, where did he go? Because the Lord stepped in and hid you in his pavilion. And guess what? Trouble can't come into his pavilion. Trouble does not have access to where God is. God is greater than your trouble. God is stronger than your trouble. In the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. Woo, aren't you glad that you have a secret place that you can go to? And the Lord, he gives you an elevator that takes you directly to this secret place. Amen? You ever been to the airport where they have those motorized walking paths where you walk and your walk is much faster? Listen, God's got a motorized path to take you right into his pavilion, the secret place, when you're in the midst of trouble. It's better than Star Trek when they beam people up. How many know when Kirk got in trouble, he would say, beam me up, you know? And Scotty would say, I'm giving her all she's got, Captain. She can't take much more. He says, he shall set me high upon a rock out of the muck and the mire that trouble brings. When you're set upon a rock, you're set upon a solid place. In other words, you'd be looking at the trouble from the grandstands. How many know that the coaches who make the decisions on the football field, they sit above the field, don't they? And they call down to the coaches. The coaches wear those headsets because the coach doesn't have the full perspective. He has a limited vision, but those up there, they can see both sides. They can see the weaknesses in the enemy's defenses. In other words, God knows how to, he always has an escape way when the enemy comes to bring trouble. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies. You know, when you have a different perspective than your enemies, you're going to overcome them, aren't you? Therefore, I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. When you should be screaming, believers are singing and praising God. When you should be fretting and pulling out your hair, your hands are lifted up and singing praise to God in the midst of trouble. We know that's what Paul and Silas did. They were beaten, thrown into a dungeon, and chained. They were in trouble, wouldn't you say? What did they decide to do at midnight? They decided to praise God. What happened? The power of their praise broke the chains of their bondage. Amen? So how you respond in trouble will determine the results that you receive. And he says, I will sing praise to the Lord. Can you say amen? Amen. Now let's go to Exodus chapter 14. And let's see this first great deliverance that God did. And God told Moses where to camp with the people, and he told them that he was going to harden Pharaoh's heart. Now, I could just hear Moses say, God, why do you want to do that for? Listen, you know, it wasn't God who hardened Pharaoh's heart. It was Pharaoh who hardened his own heart. Pharaoh refused to heed the word of the Lord. You know, when God gives you an instruction, you better listen to it. Because the less you listen to God's instruction, the harder your heart becomes toward him. And you don't want to walk around with a hard heart. Because a hard heart leads to pride, and pride comes before a fall. So keep your heart tender. Keep your heart teachable. Amen? Keep your heart open. All right, let's go to verse 5. Okay? And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and his servants was turned against the people. They were never for the people. It took God 10 times to convince them to let people go. Amen? And they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. He took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with a high hand. In other words, they left with boldness. They left on a good note, amen? They, after 430 years, they were finally delivered from slavery. They were free. They didn't have to be told when to get up, what to do, what type of work to do, what to eat. They could choose, amen? They were free. But the Egyptians pursued after them, all the horses and the chariots of Pharaoh and the horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea beside Pihahiroth before Baal Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. They were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Wouldn't you? They were afraid because they knew the might and the power of the Egyptian army. And here they thought they had a free ticket. They thought they were done with Egypt. But here they look up and they see the chariots. They see the horses coming after them. They see the army marching against them. And as a natural reaction to human beings, they were sore afraid. But aren't you glad they didn't stay there because they cried out to the Lord? How many know that? I don't care if fear knocks on the door, you don't have to answer the door. Amen? You can still come against fear by crying out to God. Make God bigger than your fears. Make God's word bigger than the threats of your enemy. So they were afraid. Verse 11, and they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Was that what God said? Did God say, I'm going to take you out of Egypt so you can die in the wilderness? What did God say? Said what? He wants to take them out so that he could take them in. Listen, some of you can't get into the promised land because you're still stuck in some stuff of the world. And God needs to take you out of that stuff so that he can bring you into something better, something greater, something that's full of blessing and goodness. Amen? So some of you got to have some things broke off you. You got to be rescued from some things, from some mindsets have to crumble. How many know that we get mindsets built up in our life? But the word of God is stronger than our minds. He can make mindsets crumble. And then when we renew our minds, we get new information as to what God wants us to have. Amen? So they were complaining to Moses. And wherefore have you dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Let's not deny the appreciation of getting free. Amen? What happened to all the plagues that they saw where God brought them out of Egypt? How about when it was dark in Egypt, it was light in Goshen? What happened to that? Amen? They quickly lost their testimony. See, and this is what trouble designs to do. Trouble comes to you to take your eyes off God. But today, we're going to keep our eyes on Him. Amen? And He's going to give us the victory in trouble. And this is what they told Moses. Is this not the word that we did tell you in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? What, it's better to serve the Egyptians than be free? You see how their perspective is not a good one. All right, verse 13. Now God begins to give the plan of deliverance to the people. Moses said unto the people, he said what? Fear not. Listen, in the midst of trouble, you got to make a decision not to fear. When your bills are piling up at your house, you got to make a decision not to fear, not to worry. Amen? Are your bills greater than God? Can God provide for you? Then make God greater than your bills. Maybe you went to the doctor this week and you got a report that said you've got this or you've got that, and it's going to limit your life. It's going to restrict you from doing things. Amen? Well, thank you, doctor, but you don't have the final word. My great physician has the final word. I'm going to get a second opinion from him. Amen? You don't have to accept when trouble comes. You don't have to welcome trouble. You don't have to make a place in your home for trouble. Hallelujah. Fear not. Don't be afraid. Don't dread. Make a decision not to fear. When fear knocks on the door, don't open it. That doesn't mean that fear won't try to come on you. That doesn't mean you won't feel the pressure of fear. But you don't have to respond to that pressure. You can go against that pressure. Amen? He told the people to fear not. Don't let your heart be faint. Don't be afraid. Do not tremble or be terrified because of them. Listen, God had already given them His word. They had seen how God delivered them out of Egypt. They saw how they plundered the Egyptians without a sword. They simply went to their masters and said, I like that watch. Can I have it? You know, I really like that tie. Can I have it? I like those shoes. Can I have them? And because God's favor was working, the Egyptians gave it to them. And the Bible said they plundered Egypt. Where do you think they got all the stuff to build the tabernacle? From Egypt. Listen, he gave them 430 years of back wages in one day. Because God, He's into the turning things around. But you got to make a decision. Say this, say, when trouble comes, I'm going to stand my ground. I'm going to look trouble right in the eye. And I'm going to call upon God. And He's going to deal with trouble. Because you got to tell trouble, when you mess with me, you're messing with Him. And He's never lost a fight. So bring it on, trouble. I'm not going to yield to you, trouble. I'm not going to fear you, trouble. I'm not going to be afraid of you, trouble. I don't care how big you look. I don't care how strong you feel. I'm not going to fear you. Why would you have to fear a bully that's been defeated? Come on. Satan was made a show openly in the spirit realm. When Jesus rose from the dead, He gave Satan a knockout blow. He made a show of him openly. He whooped him bad. He wiped the floor with him. Go with me to Psalm 27. We're going to come back to Exodus 14, but go to Psalm 27 for a minute. You need to make this confession when you find yourself in the midst of trouble. verses 1 and 2. You need to declare that the Lord is my light and my salvation. Do you understand what salvation means? It is an all-encompassing, all-included benefit package of God. When you get saved, you get His nature, you get His protection, you get His blessing, you get His benefits, you get His goodness, you get His strength, you get His peace, you get His power, you get everything. So you need to declare to trouble, the Lord is my salvation. He's my light and He's my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Ask yourself, who shall I fear? The answer is no one. If God be for me, who can be against me? They can come against me, but they're not going to succeed. They're not going to prevail. They're not going to win because God is on my side. God's never lost a battle. God's never lost a fight. God's never not gained the victory. Amen? You have a victory achieving, victory winning, victory gaining God, and He's on your side, and He wants you to have the victory in trouble. He wants to overturn the tables of trouble in trouble's face. He wants to embarrass trouble so that trouble will think twice when it messes with you again. The Lord is the strength of my life. I mean, the Bible even says, let the weak say what? So when you're feeling weak is when you ought to be saying that you're strong. The Lord is the, say that with me, say the Lord is the strength of my life. So when trouble comes, you're not operating on your strength or your power or your wisdom. Amen? You're operating in God. Then he said, of whom shall I be afraid when the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat my flesh? What happened? They stumbled and fell. Amen? How's it going, Josiah? Good to see you, buddy. Number two, back in Exodus 14, go back there. I got some preaching help today. You know, when you think about it, Jesus was in the marketplaces and on the beaches, and people followed him everywhere he go. Amen. See, I'm not nervous when things like that happen. Amen. Amen. You just keep on going. He also said to the people, Exodus 14, 13, he said, fear not, but then he said, stand still. You got to stand still. You have to present yourself in a position that is fixed and set. Amen? If you've ever watched a football game, how many know it's important for that quarterback to be set so that he doesn't throw a wobbling duck? Oftentimes, when they throw off balance, the ball is erratic. But he has to be set into a position. You got to stand still. Amen? Go with me to Psalm 46. Psalm 46. I'm giving you keys to get the victory in trouble. Amen? I know about you, but I'd be happy to get this information. This information is life-changing. Psalm 46, verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. God was going to totally embarrass the Egyptians. The defeat that they were about to receive was going to be recorded in history, because God was going to totally wipe out the enemy so that the enemy wouldn't even have any chance to come at them again. But it's how it all depends on how you respond in trouble. If you're not practicing crying to the Lord in peaceful times, it's going to be a lot harder to do that when trouble comes. You know, you don't go into a phone booth and become faith man when trouble comes. The Bible told us to live by faith. So you ought to be declaring your victory over the enemy every day. Thanks be unto God who gives us the victory. Thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph. Always. Say always. You believe God will always cause you to triumph? Or do you believe that maybe there's one foe that can take you? Thank God that while David was watching those sheep, he was singing praise to God. He was declaring how good his God is, how big his God is. So when he met a giant, he simply was doing what he already rehearsed. Listen, David didn't become faith man when he walked onto that battlefield with the bread and cheese. He was living by faith in the pasture when he was watching over sheep. And he got to exercise his faith over the lion and the bear. He had been rehearsing. He'd been walking by faith. He'd been practicing faith. He'd been living by faith. When you live by faith, that means anytime that trouble can come, you're ready. Too many times we're not ready. We're supposed to have on our feet the shoes of the gospel of readiness. We're supposed to be ready to give an answer for the hope that is within us. When someone asks you, how come what's going on today doesn't bother you, you need to be ready to give an answer. Well, how do you get ready? You rehearse these things. When in times of peace is when you prepare for the enemy. Amen? Even when people get drafted, they still got to go through basic training. Isn't that right? I mean, you're not going to take someone who's off the street, who's been drafted, and put them into battle without doing some training first. But too many times, we live in an untrained state, so when trouble comes, we're overwhelmed. Because we haven't been practicing living by faith or walking by faith. When you're still, you're supposed to know who God is. He is the I am. I am ever presently with you. You're supposed to know who the I am is. Let me tell you a story one time. I was on a missions trip to New Zealand and Fiji back in 93. And I stayed extra time in New Zealand because my brother-in-law and sister were there at the time, and so I spent some time with them. So first we went to Fiji, then we went to New Zealand, and I stayed a week after, and the rest of the team went on home. Because, you know, if you're going to spend 17 hours in the airplane, and if you got relatives there, you might as well have some extra time to see them, amen? Well, on the way back from New Zealand, I always like to read on the plane if I'm not sleeping. And I just opened my Bible to Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. I thought, okay, that was just kind of strange. Well, I caught an earlier flight from L.A., and I was flying back into Chattanooga because that's where I was living at the time. I was supposed to arrive the next day, but instead I arrived that night. Now, my father was... My parents were there at the time, and they were going to pick me up at the airport. So when I got to the airport, I called the hotel that my parents were staying at. And the hotel said, they left. And they didn't leave a forwarding number. And they didn't have a cell phone at the time. So I talked to one of the taxi drivers. I said, how much would it be to go from Chattanooga to Cleveland, which is about 35 miles. They said about $40. I was like, okay. But I had that promise from God. You think God just led me to that scripture for no reason? I had to be still. I had to calm my mind. How many know that when you get into fear, it's all about thoughts that come into your mind? Amen? I could have went around that airport. What am I going to do? I can't get a hold of my parents. Oh my goodness, the sky is falling. But instead, God gave me that scripture. I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to be still and know that you are God. I walked in that peace. I rested in that peace. I made that peace mine. I was not going to worry. I wasn't concerned about, I knew that I would end up in Cleveland. I just didn't know how I was going to get there. Well, I called several of the same hotels in different locations. My parents weren't at either one of them. So finally, a thought came to me. My father and I, we stayed at a hotel in Cleveland when I first went to school. And I got a hold of that number, and I called that number, and guess what? He was there. See, because they were expecting to pick me up the next day, not that night. But you know what? I had to make a decision to be still. See, when you're in the midst of trouble, don't fear and be still. Calm your mind. Amen? Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for Him. Don't fret. These are all choices. You can choose to fret because it's not there yet. Or you can choose to believe and you'll receive. Which one do you want to do? What did Jesus do in the midst of a storm? First of all, He was sleeping. How can you sleep in a storm? When you're walking by faith, nothing moves you. Not pressure, not intimidation, not fear. So Jesus was sleeping. Now the apostles, on the other hand, they were frantic. They came and woke up Jesus. Said, Jesus, what are you going to do seeing that we're perishing? Don't you care? What a question to ask Jesus. Don't you care? What did He do? He got up. He said something. He spoke to the storm. He commanded the waves, be still. And He said to the wind, peace, be still. What happened? The circumstances all of a sudden shifted. Now, obviously, that storm did not come from God. Otherwise, He'd have been rebuking God. Amen? That storm was trouble. Jesus told them to go to the other side. They had His word. You know, if we just put confidence in God's word, imagine how different our lives would be. If we just believe God. Amen? Peter told us to seek peace and pursue it. Number three, Moses told the people, he said, fear not. He said, be still. And he said, stand and see the salvation of God. How many know that God wants to show you His salvation? God's salvation is a life-changing event. Amen? When an alcoholic gets set free from the bonds of alcohol, when a drug addict gets set free from the bonds of drug addiction, when a prostitute gets set free from the muck and the mire of all that brings with it, salvation is a life-changing event. And it requires you to stand, to fear not, to stand still, and to see the salvation of God. How many want to see the salvation of God? Listen, God's not afraid of showing you salvation. He's not afraid of working on your behalf. He's not afraid of showing Himself strong to you. You know, in the Bible, 1 Samuel 2:1, you don't have to turn there. But the Bible says, Hannah smiles at her enemies because she rejoices in God's salvation. Hallelujah. You can smile at your enemies like, what are you going to do? Because I'm rejoicing in God. God is bigger than anything. Salvation comes out of Zion. And the Lord brings back the captivity of his people. We quoted, the Lord is my light and what? My salvation. Take ownership of your salvation. Amen? Walk like you've been saved. Bible says walk in the light as he is in the light. How do you walk in the light as he have fellowship one with another? You know, people who are in darkness don't like to fellowship with the light. Go to 1 Timothy 4:10. Is this helping someone today? I'm telling you, next time the devil thinks he's going to mess with you, God's going to give you the upper hand. He's going to give you victory in the midst of trouble. He's going to bring forth a victory. He's going to turn the tables over the enemy, and the enemy is not going to know what happened. 1 Timothy 4:10. For therefore, we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God who is the Savior of all men, especially those who believe. Do you trust in the living God or are you trusting in some dead God? Aren't you glad you come to a place where God is alive and not dead? Where we celebrate the life of God, not the death of God? You know, once Jesus rose from the dead, his focus was the resurrection, not the crucifixion. Did you know that Jesus isn't on the cross anymore? That was a once and done deal. He doesn't have to get back on the cross anymore. It always amazes me why people would portray Jesus on a cross. Because why don't you portray him from an empty tomb? Amen? Because we celebrate the living God. Who, the Bible in Acts it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the God shall what? Be saved. But you got to do the calling. You know God's number? It's J-E-S-U-S. Amen? When you call upon that name, he will answer you. He will show himself strong for you. Okay? Then Moses told the people, he said, the Lord will do the saving. Go back to Exodus 14. Exodus 14. He said, see the salvation of the Lord which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more. For how long? Oh, hallelujah. You talk about a victory. To utterly defeat the enemy where you won't see him again. But see, the enemy will just come in another form. But when you know how to get the victory in trouble, it doesn't matter when he comes or how he comes. Amen? Say, I've got the victory. Say, I'm a winner. Say, I'm a champion. Say, I'm an overcomer. Say, I'm more than a conqueror. Those are all victory words that God has given to us. He's promised us in his word. Jesus preached a sermon about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. He had so many people leave him on that day. You know, that just tells me that Jesus wasn't, he didn't preach for popularity. He had so many people leave him. You can read this in John 6. That Jesus turned to his disciples and said, are you going to leave too? And Peter, you know, I like Peter. He said, where are we going to go, Lord? You have the words to eternal life. God's got the words to eternal life. What's eternal life? Eternal life is the ultimate victory over death. Eternal life is the ultimate victory. Forever and ever and ever, we're going to celebrate our victory in heaven. Amen? We're going to have a party that's not going to stop. Amen? There's going to be singing and dancing. There's going to be a light show. You just get around the throne. There's a light show. Man, there's going to be a banqueting table as far as the eye can see. We're going to celebrate the marriage supper of the Lamb. We're going to give glory to God forever and ever, day in and day out. No night, no sorrow, no pain, no tears, just experiencing the light of God's glory. But until that time, you better know how to face trouble. You better know how to get the victory. God's promised you the victory. Amen? So God does, there is no other name under heaven among men by which we can be saved. Paul was in the midst of danger. In Acts 27, he was a prisoner, and they were sending him to Rome. And although the circumstance and everything looked good, they set sail. And as they set sail, the Bible says a Euroclidon, a great storm, rose up against them. They hadn't eaten for several days. For several days it was dark. Talk about trouble. They threw out all the tackle. They threw out all the stuff that they could of the ship. And still they didn't see the light of day. And all of a sudden, in the midst of trouble, an angel stood by Paul that night. And the angel said, he told Paul in Acts 27, 23 through 22 through 25, he said, "Take heart, for there will be no loss of life, but only the ship." An angel of God stood by Paul in the midst of trouble, in the midst of a storm, when bad things were happening, when life was threatened. God's angel stood by Paul, and he gave him a word. A word with substance, a word with life, a word with power. And Paul told the word to the people. He said, "I've got good news for you, men. Nobody's going to lose their life." 235 people on that ship. Not one of them lost their life. Why? Because God said it. And one man chose to believe it. He said, "For I believe God." Paul made that declaration. "I know in whose I am. I know in whom I believe." And Paul said, "I believe God." I want you to make that your declaration today. Say, "I believe God." No matter what comes against you, no matter what contradicts you, no matter what your circumstances say, you look at your circumstances and you say, "I believe God." Not "I'm going to," "I believe." You're not going to believe. You better be believing right now. Now, God did something amazing with Moses and the Israelites. He appeared to them as a cloud and fire. Now, when they saw the Egyptian army, the cloud moved in front of them. Remember, we sang that song, "He's in front of us and he's behind us." Well, the cloud that was in front of them moved behind them. And here's the thing. Where the Israelites were, it was light. Where the Egyptians were, it was dark. They couldn't see where they were. They didn't have enough light to attack. The darkness that they were in kept them apart from the Israelites. Now, they had to probably cross a mile long to get to the other side. Here you have the Red Sea in front of you, the Egyptian army behind you. Sounds like trouble, doesn't it? But say, God's got an answer. He's my deliverer. How are you going to deliver God? Leave the how up to him. You just trust him to deliver you, to bring you through, to protect you in the midst of trouble so that no harm comes to you. Amen? Your job is the believing. Let him do the doing. So, while the Israelites had light and the Egyptians had dark, Moses had time to get all the people in order, all the sheep, all the cows, all the donkeys, all the camels in order, all the kids, all the ladies in order so that they could cross. But they still didn't know where they were going to go. So Moses is there, and He cries to the Lord because the Lord said, why are you crying unto me? Tell the people to go forward. He said, lift up your rod and stretch forth your hand. And when he did that, God did something amazing. He opened up the Red Sea. He opened up a way of deliverance that man could never imagine, could never think of, could never think to do. But how many know that God has a way? He has a way to get you out of trouble. He can move heaven. He can move earth to get you out of trouble. He can move heaven and earth to protect you, to provide for you, to move on your behalf. And the Bible says the water was like walls. Egyptians couldn't attack from this side. They couldn't attack from this side. And they couldn't get past the darkness. And so God led Moses through the Red Sea. He opened up the Red Sea, and the Bible says that they walked on dry ground. Now, this took all night. Someone did a study, and the Army Corps of Engineers, I don't know when the study was done, but they said it would have had to have been 5 miles wide to get 2 to 3 million people across at the same time. And because the Egyptians were thirsty for blood, they were blinded, their hearts were hard, they were darkened, they pursued Israel into the sea. But because they were in the midst of darkness, they didn't know where they were going. They couldn't see where they were. And the Bible said about 6 o'clock in the morning that God looked through the cloud and he began to take off the wheels of the chariots. In other words, when you're against God, he'll make it hard for you to go forward. And the Egyptians, they were trying to get forward because they were full of pride. They were trying to push through. And once the last Israelite stepped onto the shore across the sea, the walls began to close. The water began to pour in. And before the Egyptians knew what hit them, the Red Sea fell on top of them, totally drowning every chariot, every horseman, everybody that Pharaoh sent into that place was totally wiped out without a sword being raised against them. Just simple faith in God, trust in God on the Israelites' part, caused them to get the victory over their enemy. So obviously the first part in our journey is the Red Sea. You read that chapter. It is phenomenal what God did. 2 to 3 million people walked through the sea. Now, I can remember when I was in high school, I was in a Bible class and they were talking about the Red Sea because I went to a Catholic high school by choice. And they were saying that some scholars believe that they went through the Sea of Reeds, which was only a few inches deep. And I thought, isn't it amazing? That's more of a miracle than I thought. The whole Egyptian army drowned in a couple inches of water. What'd they do, splash themselves? If the Israelites went through inches of water, then how did the whole Egyptian army drown? But I'm going to tell you something. When God wants to give you the victory, he'll do it in grand style. All he wants you to do is to trust him. Believe him. Believe your leaders. How'd you like to be Moses? Tell the people to move forward. The sea in front of you and the Egyptian army behind you. Boy, you want to test your leadership. You know, God gives you leaders to speak into your lives. And yes, they make mistakes. But it doesn't mean that God didn't put them there for that reason. Amen? You better hope that your leaders are hearing from God. Well, you know, at least they had enough faith in the miracles that God did in Egypt, you know. And I guarantee you, Moses was the first one going through the sea. And people just, they were encouraged by his faith. You know, sometimes people just need to see someone else take a step. Amen? So I believe that God's going to open Red Seas for you. He's going to deliver you. He's going to give you the victory. Amen? Even in today, if our Congress can never agree, it doesn't change who God is. Amen? Amen? And you know what? We have the power of prayer. If we just quit agreeing with the devil and complaining against them, let's pray. Amen? Let's call out to God. You want to change something? Let God change it. We can't change anything. But God certainly can. He can change the hearts of kings. All we have to do is believe him. Trust him. Have faith in him. That's all you need to have the victory. We're going to experience some more troubling times in the wilderness. Our wilderness journey is not done yet. Maybe you know someone that's going through rough times. Now's the time. Here's the place to bring them. Amen? Be a Moses to them. Bring them out of their bondage. Be a deliverer to them. Shine the light so that they can see that there's something better. Amen? Now, I believe that there's some people here today. You're in the midst of trouble. But God wants you to not fear. He wants you to stand still and see the salvation of God, because he's going to do it. Amen? Maybe you don't know how to defeat this giant, or you don't know how to get around this obstacle, or you don't know how to change this or how to change that. God's got your answer. Amen? God will give you the victory in the midst of trouble. And I'm going to invite you to come and receive your victory today. Amen? This is the finish line right here. This is the finish line of your toil, of your being overwhelmed, of your being defeated. No more defeat past this line. Amen? I'm going to draw a line in the sand today. And I don't care how many times you've been defeated, today is your day of victory. Amen? All God wants you to do is get up and cross this line, and he will give you the victory today. There's victory in the camp today. Today is a day of victory and rejoicing. Amen? God's about to turn things around. He's about to turn your situation around. But come, put your faith on the line today. If that speaks to you, I want you to come up here now in the name of Jesus. And you coming up, you are not saying that you're defeated. You're saying that you're victorious. Amen? When you come up, you're facing your trouble in the face. And you're letting the trouble know that it can't move you. It can't change you. Hallelujah. And God is going to give you the victory today in grand style and grand fashion. And it may be that God will move and you don't even know how he's going to do it. Just know that he can do it. Know that he wants to do it for you. Our God loves you. Oh, it's time to lift up your head, oh, you gates. Lift up your head. Let the King of Glory come in. It's time to lift up your head. You're not defeated. You're not going under. You're going over. You're going to go from barely to get along to more than enough. Hallelujah. I can see that you are ready to receive your victory today. Oh, hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus.